sense that, you know, somebody has to make that song so personal tonight. All to you I surrender. No turning back. I'm giving you my life this time. I'm giving it all this time. No turning back. I remember one time ago, I was praying for my brother who was following the Lord at one time, but then he had fell away. There was kind of different times to come back. And then I was singing this song one time, and I just felt, this is it. This is the time. No turning back this time. You're doing it. You're giving your life this time. And he hasn't gone back. He's still, praise God, and just thank God for it. Blessed be the name of Jesus. He's so good. He's so wonderful. It thrills me. I say this often. I say, you know, we're commanded or we're exhorted to, you know, draw from the well of our salvation, the joy of our salvation. And when I think about being saved, when I think about salvation, when I think about where I was and where God has brought me to, man, I get full of joy. I get full of joy. It's just awesome when I think of what Jesus has done for me. Full of joy. Full of joy. Sometimes we need to have some things happen to us every once in a while to get us a kind of a glimpse of what that was like. Because sometimes we forget about the joy of our salvation. We have to think back of what it was like. Have good things happen to you sometime. Causes things to well up within you. And you know, I kind of have been keeping it a little secret, but I became a grandfather 3 weeks ago. Telling too many people, but boy, the look of that little one, you talk about joy. Glory to God. Gives you a glimpse of the joy of the Lord. And it's so wonderful. The joy of our salvation speaks to us. And we can draw strength from the joy of our salvation. Any time that we're not feeling, you know, that we're having a day that's not just that great, not that wonderful, kind of a blue day, we can draw on the strength, joy of our salvation. Just go back there and start thinking about, hey, where would I be without God? Where would I be without the blood of Jesus? Where would I be without His grace and forgiveness? And as we think about that, then we're so much more willing to give grace to other people around us. The joy of our salvation. And God came and He brought us salvation. And that is so great and so wonderful. And sometimes we can stop there and not enter into the other benefits of Jesus' coming. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Doug is going to be sharing a bit about that. And I don't know where the service is going to go, but I know this is a healing service. So somewhere in there, we're going to talk about that. And I was sharing with someone this week, I think it was this week, that about we were talking about salvation, and I felt compelled to try to get across to them that, you know, the healing ministry of Jesus wasn't a side issue. It was not a side issue that He tagged on to the things that He had already done, the things that He was doing. It was a major, major part of Jesus' ministry as He walked here on earth. And when He left the earth, He sent out a whole bunch of people and He said, you've watched me now, you've seen me do it, now I want you to go out there and do the same thing. And that's why we call a healing service, because we want people to grasp some of the things that Jesus paid for. Because we don't hear about it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we don't talk about it, we'll never have faith for it. We'll never have an expectancy to see healing. And we have to get to the place where we have a real faith to grab a hold of the benefits of God. Like we're something on the inside of us are convinced is going to happen. Kind of like this lady, this town in the Southwest, I believe it was, they were really believing for rain. They were praying for rain. They didn't have a rain for a long time, and the pastor decided to pray for rain because, you know, it was serious. And so they called a meeting, and some people gathered to pray in this little country church, and then Mrs. McMurphy wasn't there. And she was the greatest prayer warrior of the whole bunch. She was an elderly lady, and she was the greatest, and they couldn't figure out why was she not there. So the pastor said, I'm going to go and get her. So you guys start praying, and I'm going to go and get her, because we're praying for rain. So he was gone for a while, and after a while, he comes back into the church, and Mrs. McMurphy came walking in, and she came walking in rubber boots and an umbrella. She said, we came to pray for rain, didn't we? She's expecting something to happen. She's expecting God to move because of the prayers of God's people. She was preparing for it. And so often we have to prepare for our miracle. We can't just go living our lives day in and day out thinking, acting like nothing's going to happen. Or sometimes we really have to prepare for our miracle. My goodness, I got to stop her. I'm going to get preaching. We have Pastor Doug with us here tonight. And he's from Oshawa, Ontario. And he's been ministering here all week. And he's been imparting awesome things to us. And we just appreciate so much the things that he has been imparting to us. Doug has learned some things in the spirit. One thing I love about him so much, he's been in ministry a long time. He's learned a lot of things, but he has a thirst. Thirst just as much as any of us. He has a thirst for more of God. A thirst for understanding and walking in the things of the Spirit. For more of that than what we've ever seen before. More signs and wonders, more miracles, more of the presence, more of angelic activity, more of the things of God, more of the benefits of heaven being released here in our midst. And that thirst, I believe, is going to be satisfied as we thirst after him. And as it comes, now, before the evening is out, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be able to sow into his ministry. And so I want you to, when we receive an offering, I don't like to take it up just, you know, somebody's here, so we got to, like, paying for a meal at a restaurant and so forth. I want us to think a little bit about this, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what you should give tonight in this offering. Now, we know what the Apostle Paul gave us some instruction. He said, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He gave us some instruction about God being able to supply seed to the sower. So the one who sows is a candidate for God to supply seed, more seed into his hand for bread, and also to meet needs, other needs in the body. So I want you to close your eyes for a minute now. And I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit what you are to give tonight to sow into Pastor Doug's life and ministry. He's coming here to ministry, and the Apostle Paul said, you know, if you reap spiritual things from us, it is only right that we would reap material things. And so, Lord, I thank you now for your people who know your voice, they hear your voice, and they follow after you. So, God, speak to your people tonight now about what they should sow. Lord, I believe that even as you speak tonight, you are instructing individuals so that you might be able to get something over into their hands as they sow seed into the kingdom of God tonight. And we thank you for that, Lord. Your people, who are an obedient people, they follow after you. They hear your voice. And Father, as they hear your voice, they will not be people who give grudgingly, but they give joyfully. They sow seed for a harvest in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before the night's over, we'll give you an opportunity to come and just put that in the basket. And we will be praying for people and so forth as the evening goes on. I thank God, Doug, I'm going to ask you to come, and thanks, team. For now, we'll want you to come back up after. Come and minister as the Lord leads.
Beautiful, beautiful. Good to see you, folk. God bless you. Yeah. This morning, it was a good-looking group, and I think tonight, good-looking as well. That's good, that's good. If you look outside, you'll see that's what it is when you lose an hour. You get a benefit. You know, it looks like the middle of the afternoon, so I'll just preach until it's dark. How's that? No, you don't have to worry about it. Some of you are hearing me for the first time tonight, and you think, oh, this guy's dangerous. You're from different places, I understand. So you're, you know, maybe just, you know, name a place. Doesn't have to be the name of the church, but the name of the town or the city where you're from. Where else? where are y'all from?
Somerside.
Somerside, okay. Somerside, I know where that is.
Rocky Point.
Rocky Point, good to see you.
Mount Stewart.
Mount Stewart. Okay, good. Say that again. Argyle Shore. See, I know all these places. I'm just checking to make sure they know what they're saying. Okay, is there another place?
Savage Harbor.
Savage Harbor?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a dangerous place. Yeah. I like Argyle Shore. Anybody else?
Charlottetown.
Charlottetown. Okay, that one covers a fair bit, eh? Yeah, good. Excellent.
Lawless Road.
Is that, it's right there? That's good, that's good. You know, it's so funny. I'm staying with Pastor Bill and Debbie, and tonight he and Debbie got into the car. I just came upstairs. I'm staying with them and enjoying their hospitality, and I walked upstairs, and I saw them driving down the roadway there, and I saw the trunk up in the air, and all this stuff in their trunk, and I thought, woohoo, it's fellowship night. And I thought, they've got all this food in there. They're going to church with it, and they had to put it in the trunk. And the trunk lid is up, and I'm watching, and I'm just fascinated. I'm watching, and they get to the end, and Pastor Billy gets out of the car. And I see him, and I thought, oh no, some of the food dropped out. So I see him, and he's holding these bags, and I thought, it looks like a big bag dropped out. And I look some more, and there's another bag. Then it dawned on me, he's taking the garbage out. So, folk, here's what we're going to do. We're believing the Lord to heal. It doesn't take a lot of faith to believe to attend a church service. You just have to get dressed and drive in the car, you know, from these different places. But, and I remember a time when a Sunday night meeting, if I didn't have a Sunday night meeting, you know, it was a night free. And then I had such a hunger for God that if I had a night free, it could be during the week or a Sunday night, I wanted to know what God was doing and where he was moving, because I wanted in on what God was doing. And I don't even care if I'm the caboose. I want on the train that's moving and to experience what God's doing. And I was just wanting to know the mind of the Lord for tonight. I just want to know how many people have come here and you actually need a touch. You don't have to say what it is, but you need a touch in your own body. I just want to know how many sick people are here in some capacity. That's good, because I wanted people to be here who have needs. So there are numerous people who have needs in their body. And we're going to believe tonight that you will go home healed. Healed by the power of God. And that's just because of who God is, and we're mixing just all of what Pastor Billy said. We're mixing it together and saying, yes, I want to grab a hold of that. I want to share some scripture with us. One of the most important scripture verses that a person can ever grab a hold of and understand is in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, and it says, "And how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God, cleanse our conscience." And it speaks of this cleansing that the blood of Jesus does for us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God." A lot of times we think of the life of Jesus on the earth, and the ministry of Jesus on the earth as well was easy for Jesus, because here's God the Son, you know, he's able to do miracles. But did you know that from the time of his conception in the Virgin Mary to the time that he offered himself on the cross and was raised from the dead, from the beginning till the end of that time frame that I'm speaking of, actually, I've got a word for you. That's good. That's good. Thank you, Lord. I leaned over to Pastor Billy and I said, "What's that lady's name? Janice. Janice, right? Janice, I've got something for you. I'm sorry. I'm the only person who can interrupt himself. Babies don't bother me, or hecklers. I used to street preach.
I'd have bus exhaust fumes and all that, but I had wanted to share I felt to bless you for your goodness in leading us into the presence of the Lord, and I was just asking God, give me something for her. And here it is. It's the word shalom, and it means nothing missing, nothing broken. And what it means, I actually saw a puzzle, and that many times in our lives, you know, we've got quite a bit that's there, but there can be little pieces missing that would make it so much nicer. And I felt from the Lord that it's Psalm 37, I think it's verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I felt from the Lord that there are desires and surprises that God wants to give to you, and it's the pieces that are missing from the puzzle. And it's not that your life would fall apart without them, but it's just another piece of the puzzle that will make it all that much nicer in your walk with God. And so I just speak into you that if our earthly fathers know how to give us good gifts, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to us? And if we're asking for bread, he's not going to give us a stone. And I just believe that there are desires of your heart, that pieces just in your journey, that there are pieces that have been missed along the way and in the road up ahead. And the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to give you this. And it's a season of favor that you're in. You're moving into the season of favor, and it's shalom. And shalom doesn't, you know, that's Jewish. And some of us get all excited, Jewish, and we say shalom and this sort of thing. But in actual fact, what it means is a wholeness. That's what it means. It's more than just peace. It's more than just hello, shalom. It literally is W-H-O-L-E. And I speak the shalom of the Lord. In fact, I give you Numbers chapter 6 where it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And now here it is. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. That's the word. May he give you shalom. And I just declare the name of the Lord upon your life, Janice, for being so good in your walk with God. And you know, it's one of those things where you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of those things. And God says, listen, those other things, I'll look after you. Your Heavenly Father knows you. He knows the hairs in your head. He knows how to care for you. And I just speak that into your spirit and you watch it come to pass. Amen. Amen. So back to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. We think that Jesus did all these miracles just because he's God the Son. But in actual fact, he didn't do one miracle in his own powers of deity as God the Son. He was totally dependent upon Holy Spirit. There's nothing that he did in himself. And in this sense, he laid it down. In other words, he didn't draw upon it. And so he was dependent on Holy Spirit working in his life. And that's one reason why I love Hebrews 9 and verse 14, is he offered himself for the eternal Spirit, God, Holy Spirit, to use him and to guide him, not only in the good things of life, but the difficulties and when people would try to do things. Holy Spirit is there, and he's working in Jesus' life so that when Jesus would be doing his miracles, that's Holy Spirit doing it. That's Holy Spirit. That's not Jesus in powers of deity. And the reason why this is so important is in Acts chapter 10. Maybe you'd like to turn to it, or you'll see it on the screen. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. It says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And I like that it throws in Nazareth. You know, it's talking like about Savage Bay, or is that what it's called? Savage Harbor? Savage Harbor and Argyle Bay, or? Yeah, same thing. Charlottetown. See, I got that one right. Summerside. You know, once we use those names, we think, oh, we're talking about regular people. Well, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Number one, he anointed him with Holy Spirit and with power. Number two, and both of those are one. When you're anointed with Holy Spirit, you're anointed with power. And he went about doing good. And I like that one because it covers a broad base. He went about doing good. And he was healing. I like that word. But I also like he was healing people who were oppressed of demonic powers. Because there are people who have put up with stuff and it's going to stop tonight for your life. There's some people here tonight it's going to stop.
Amen.
Because it's demonic powers that torment and harass. And he went about healing all those. He was healing and doing good and healing those who were oppressed of the devil because, and here it is again, God was with him. So Holy Spirit comes with power, and Holy Spirit is God. So all the miracles that Jesus would do, and the good that he would do, and the defeat of the devil and demonic powers was because of the Holy Spirit's ministry in his life and through his life. So I can only believe tonight. Like if no one was sick here and no one needing anything, then I was ready to change. I was serious. I was ready. I'll preach on something different. If no one needs healing and you all need to get saved, we'll just switch gears and we'll give a salvation message. If you're all saved and you're all healed, we'll switch into something else and preach something else. But we know we're on the track, the right track. And I've got to believe that if Holy Spirit took Jesus of Nazareth. I love that. Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth, Holy Spirit is in him and upon him, resting on him, flowing through him. And Jesus is doing good by the power of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is guiding him. Because of that, people are being healed. They're being set free from demonic influence. Their lives are being changed. That's what he does. That's what the Lord does. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, and by the way, somebody tell me what Luke did as a profession. Isn't it great when a medical doctor believes in the power of God?
Amen.
I love that. By the way, I like medical doctors, just believe it. And I understand you're a veterinarian too. Bible says that a righteous person loves their animals. They love their animals. And, you know, a veterinarian, someone who cares for animals. I love the fact that medical doctors can use all that they have to make people better and help people get better, help animals get better. But I also love it when a medical doctor believes in the power of God. And there are many men and women who are in the medical field. And they do believe in the power of God. And they don't check out of the, you know, this natural medicine and check into spiritual medicine. No, it's all one. You're just believing that God will use you in what you do. And so Luke is a medical doctor. He understands that. And he's the one who wrote Acts chapter 10, verse 38. So a medical doctor wrote that. That's pretty good. He believed in demonic power, that it's out there. He didn't deny it, but he said the anointing of Holy Spirit upon Jesus delivered people. He believed that the power of God was able to heal people. He knew what it was to walk in Holy Spirit, how God the Father anointed Jesus with Holy Spirit. Now, Luke, the medical doctor, writes in Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, these words. He talks about these religious people. I'll tell you, and don't let me throw you off. I said this morning, honestly, if you get to know me, I'm a nice guy. Now, I have to say it about myself because you won't have time to get to know me. So just in faith, you know, accept it that I'm a nice guy. But, you know, when you look in the Bible, the people who gave Jesus the hardest time were religious people. I've never been able to wrap my mind around that one. I've tried, and I finally gave up. I thought, I don't get it. I've heard of people who even have healing meetings, and there are people who say, oh, you're such a terrible person. You had a healing meeting, and not everyone was healed.